place they are, and then that keeps it only in the place he knows where they are. Concentrated effort to love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And that means that you put aside everything else. You know, if we've asked this question before, if I ask you, do you love God? Most of you say, oh yeah, I love God. But the question is, from God's perspective, is how often do you put what He desires before everything that you desire? And that's the essence of discipleship. So the counting of the Omer is 49 days of a concentrated, it's concentrated discipleship where you there is a, and you have to count to yourself. It's a communal thing because we're in community, but it's fundamentally counting to yourself, and it is a setting aside whatever you think you want or want to do or want to have, or it's setting that aside for the alternative is what is God's will. In other words, and how do I know God's will? That's just crazy. I mean, you know, God's will for my life is it. God's will is that you always, 24 hours a day, you love Him above all other things. You love Him about what you feel. You love Him about your above your emotions. You love Him above kids, husbands, wives, country, flags, war. You love Him above everything else. Now this should be this constant state, but unfortunately it isn't. Because you go through life moseying on down the road, just following your nose, and before you know it, you've been lost. You're so far out of the picture, you're so far out of the mystery of God, you couldn't recognize it if you saw it. And how did you get lost? By following your own desires one step at a time. Now the act of denying yourself, the act of not following what you think you should do, what you think you should be, the act of not following that will produce affliction. And so the period of the counting of the Omer is a period in which it is a concentrated production of affliction. But you've consciously done it as to yourself. Now, you must start understanding by now that His ways are not our ways. I promise you that whatever you think about some aspect of your life, it's wrong. We were going to do this talk show once, and Harry had this great idea. He was going to put on the front of it would be, consider the possibility that everything you'd ever heard, everything you'd ever learned, and everything you'd ever thought was wrong. Now, remember, agapeo, love, is a verb. And it means what you give importance to, what you give breath to, what you give life to. Now, it sounds weird, but we must give life only and exclusively to God. You know what I mean? And I promise you that when you are in this arena, it is opposite of what you think should be done. Beatitudes, Christ said over and over, you have heard that it hath been said, but I say unto you. And every time he said, but I say unto you, it is a guarantee that it's against what you want to do. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now, in truth, that is in the law, and compared to the laws of that time, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth was a relatively merciful law, because before that it was an eye, you take my eye, I'm going to kill you. You've heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee in thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now what does that tell us? It tells us that in this arena, and this is 24 hours a day here, but now in the counting of the Omer, it is an absolute diminishing of your right to yourself and your right to your own judgments and ideas and activities. Now, can you do that for the rest of the counting of the Omer? Are you going to continue to walk like brute beasts, following your senses and being convinced that this is what God wants for you? Oh, it sounds so good. So logical, so right. This is what everybody does. No, it's not what you do as a disciple. You raising your hand, or are you just scratching an itch? Oh, okay. If any man will sue thee at law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him too. Now everything about this is the opposite. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow thee turn thou away. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy, but I say unto you, love your enemy. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven, which is in heaven, is perfect. Now, every one of these counting of the Omers, every one of these gates of impurity, is something that you think is righteous, it's good, it's the just thing to do, it's the understandable thing to do. Not for a believer. You have heard that it has been said, but I say unto you. All right. Listen to this one. This will get you in the short hairs. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. The word, you got to hear this. Love there is the word agapeo. It's the verb. Prefer your enemy's interest over your own. Now, can you possibly live with? It's not. How many days of Pentecost? 15 or something, 20, 30?
Let's just talk about today. Can we possibly do that today? That would be
this isn't written just so it can be a book that's hanging around that you can place your own interpretations on. This is spirit. This is the mystery of his kingdom revealed to us. If you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you have heard that it hath been said, love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Prefer their interest over your own.
You can no longer call them enemies.
That's right.
Which is really the point of the whole thing, seeing them.
They are sent from God.
Yeah, there's no against them.
I've had some wild experiences since I've been a believer. Barry Wilson held me hostage in Lebanon with a gun in my mouth for hours and hours. I could have easily, he's a little guy, I could have taken him. You know, I knew how to do it. But I knew that if I did, I'd have to kill him because he was that crazed. After I was rescued, the American Embassy demanded that I press charges against him. The Lebanese government demanded that I press charges against him. I refused. I had no logical reason for refusing, but it was the grace of God that I refused. But I'm sure these people in the embassy thought I was absolutely nuts. They spent all this time and effort. They had their own goon squad that kind of came and rescued me out of this hotel in an armored car with a convoy running through the no man's land of Beirut, secreting me into a place in the embassy, giving me a period of rest, giving me a false passport so I could fly to Paris to go to the American hospital, making arrangements with Middle Eastern Airlines so that there would be a guard with me at all times, on and on and on. And they thought I was the most ungracious, unthankful person that had ever lived because I would not press charges. And here's a man that tried to kill me. Now, certainly wasn't me. Every instinct in me If any of you know me very well, you know that I go for the jugular. God help anybody that gets in the way. But something happened. And that experience cemented forever in me. And if it cemented it in me, it cemented it in you, if you have ears to hear, that you do not you do not hate your enemy, you love your enemy. He became a believer. 4 years later, he called me and asked me to forgive him. I had to send him a plane ticket to get here from Florida. Nobody would go to the airport with me to pick him up. Anybody remember that?
Nobody.
Well, you wouldn't. Among others.
I don't remember if we've all been asking for the airport. So.
I asked everybody. Huh?
I remember very clearly.
I asked everybody, did somebody go with me? Nobody would. That experience can never be overcome. I can't ever forget that. He became a believer. Besides those in this room, do you have any idea how many people call me the Antichrist? Do you have any idea how many people hate me with so perfect hatred? But I have no enemies. Why? Because it's impossible for there to be anything against me. But by the same token, I have no rights. I have no right to anything. But these are the issues of where you live. It's not some philosophy you sit around and discuss. Oh, the way you think about this scripture. Oh, let's all give our little opinion about what this means. I don't care what you think. I care that I know what I saw. It's not negotiable. It cost me my life. And if it's not costing your life, you're wasting your time. If it's not costing you your life, and the second by second aspects of the day, you just made me a fool for being here. Oh, I can't do it. I can't. I mean, that so often it makes me want to throw up. Nobody can do it, but you certainly are able to repent when you see that you're not doing it. That doesn't take a genius. You don't have to think of. You don't have to sit and pray about it. You do it. Oh, let's go pray about it. Can you imagine what a refuge for scoundrels that word, that phrase is? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Will not love your neighbor as yourself, and that will fulfill all the law and all the prophets. But the act of loving him above all else, as I said, will produce internal affliction like you cannot believe. What does it say about that? This light affliction lasteth for a moment, where it says, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Oh, but I'm just seeking happiness. I'm just out here seeking happiness. I just want to be happy. Don't you understand that your search for happiness is deceiving you of your rightful inheritance, which is joy unspeakable? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. You've heard that it has been said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Why do you love your enemies? Because they are sent here by the Holy Spirit from heaven itself to show you arenas where you are still consumed with yourself. Unless you eat his flesh and drink his blood, you can have no part in him. Means gaining worth only from his blood, and gaining sustenance and satisfaction only from his flesh, nothing else. You have heard that it has been said, but I say unto you, anybody have any response?
Point some time before I even got here, but this guy said, is it some Bible study that I went to? And he said, you don't have any rights. And this is like during the 60s, you know, and everyone was rights and everybody was talking about it. And it, you know, it's so freaked me out that, you know, it made me go back and look at the 60s. Like, well, that can't be in there, because that's, you know, that's our highest value these days. You know, it's right. And
what is it?
There it was, you know, there it was. It was
is it still our highest value in this community? It's perfect sin is what it is. Sin that crucified the Son of God afresh is what it is. It's trampling underfoot the Son, the blood of the Son, and counting it the covenant. The blood of the covenant is an unholy thing. Love is not an emotion. Don't you understand by now that your emotions are your mortal enemy? These fools that are running around in, you know, in these charismatic circles, oh, praise God, praise God, they get an emotional fix by going to a crusade or a conference, but they have to have them every other day, just like any other drug addict. Can you hear me? Love is not an emotion. Love is an act of surrender.
Gary and John, but more about than talking about that in your high places, you know, when something seems right, whatever it is, it's the hardest time to let it go.
We are always delivered unto death. Always delivered unto death. The moment you start insisting you're right, the moment you start pouting, the moment you start pointing your finger, you know you have left that place of being delivered unto death. And therefore you will never experience the resurrection. Because there can be no resurrection without your death. Resurrection. obviously there is a resurrection, but you won't experience it. So you'll wander around dying in the wilderness, dying of thirst, dying of hunger, searching for anything to eat to give you a momentary feeling of righteousness and purpose. We ever talked about the word sterigo? Which we naturally feel is love. The human race feels is love. It is about as exactly opposite of love as there is. Because it's a love that's consumed with self-realization and self-protection. Why it's neurotic beyond neuroses. Gary used to think he loved Judy. Oh, he could live without her. And he married her 8 hours later. Because he loved her, because he thought that she would fulfill something in him. What a shock. Huh? But isn't it kind of goofy? I mean, I you know, Pete's not here, so Pete wanders around like a little puppy dog looking for love. Well, if he's not the only one, then we have tree hugger looking for love in all the wrong places. That's not love, don't you understand? The only way you will find it is by abandoning yourself. Any of you gone through the searches and engines and everything trying to find Counting of the Omer, the 49 Gates of Impurity?
I
had
found the 49 Gates
of Counting
the Omer.
There's a lot on the Omer. But the 49 Gates, when you find something, which is really difficult, it is this crazy bullshit. It's like, well, you got to come out of these Gates of Impurity, and that's, you know, all of and every one of them. Something that you think is bad, something that everybody thinks is bad. No, that's not it. They've missed a point. That was all dealt with at the cross. Now the Counting of the Omer is to deal with what you think is good and right and proper. That's the impurity. offended her again. I find her every morning.
I thought you watched that yesterday.
I wasn't here.
Well, I was there about this time.
So much of the things about the spirit you really can't see and hear straight on. It's like the way to talk about spirit is allegories and analogies and similes and all that. So I kind of see a picture and picture.
Tropes.
All that stuff. And something happened yesterday, and then that combined with what you just said has really made something clear for me. I had to go into a file yesterday afternoon to see if we had any information about a church here in town. And in the file is a questionnaire that Pete filled out and some emails. So it's like 8 pages of paper. I read the 8 pages of paper, and it's patently obvious that this 10,000-member, hugely successful church is in reality a double diamond marketing organization in multi-level marketing. And the pastor is at the top of this multi-level I'm speaking literally now, not figuratively. It is a multi-level marketing organization. And the Christian, the body of Christ is exactly the opposite. Our high priest is on the bottom of the pyramid, is experienced the most suffering, experienced the greatest loss, experienced the greatest pain, gave the most. It's exactly the opposite. And that, in a way, that's sort of cool, because if we look at the thing in the natural, this multi-level marketing crap, we can really see by the opposite.
Yeah, Christ gave everything. That's
The captain of our salvation is made perfect through suffering. And suffering, so all of that is exactly the opposite. That's helped me.
I had hoped to come to the editorial meeting, but I'm not going to make it. I think you can probably survive without me. They're probably better without me, in fact.
What meeting?
Editorial board.
There's a door.
I need to see you and Bojo. Can you do that?
Right now?
Yeah.
Is it good stuff?
Because
he'll
get the letter.
I don't want to come unless it's encouragement and happy and
you, why don't you just go to your room? Tell the kids I'll give them anybody that finds my cane a dollar.
Okay.